This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Well, we've got the right track now, Andy, haven't we?
We got there eventually.
We might hear Stop a bit later on by the Spice Girls. That was Katie Lang and the Reclines. You've got Our Garden, and I'm the Gaz Man.
And I'm Andy Kay.
And we're going to give you all these great gardening tips and let you know what our gardens are like and what we're doing in our garden.
Yes. And if you have a question or want to send us a message, you can SMS 0427JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au or you can give them a call at the front desk, 1300JOY949.
Alex is there waiting for your call, indeed. And we've got a few things we're going to be covering today. Well, the main theme today is bulbs. Have a look at bulbs.
Bulbs. And I'll run down a list of a few things you can plant in April and May.
Excellent, and we'll let you know what's happening in our gardens.
Yes.
Just to let listeners know what my garden is like, and Andy will let you know about his in a moment. I've got a reasonable smallish block in Brunswick, and there's a detached house on it. There's a front and back garden, and the usual troublesome side way with all the weeds and the utilities and all that sort of thing. The main trees I got in my front garden are a mature crab tree, a young mulberry tree, and a cropped crepe myrtle. It doesn't like me, didn't flower this year. It's still a reasonable sized tree, though. There's a few shrubs and quite a few roses. And as Katie Lang continues with the rose garden, the main ground cover I've got there are violets. I've got two agapanthuses and numerous bulbs, of course. No lawn in the front. It's sort of a cottagey garden. And the back garden, another large crab apple tree, a struggling plum tree, and a mature silver birch, two Japanese maples, two citrus trees, a few shrubs, a small lawn area, and a small veggie patch, which is not doing much at the moment, an even smaller herb garden, but very well shaded with mature trees. Now, what's in your garden, Andy?
Well, we moved in, my partner and I, into the house about 4 years ago. The front lawn was about half the size of a tennis court, just to give you an idea of the size. Around the lawn, along the perimeter, there was roses and a few succulents. The most prominent plant is the pomegranate tree, which is about 4.5 metres tall. Fruit will be ready to pick pretty soon, not just yet.
Pomegranates are pretty special, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, and they can be expensive too, so it saves a lot of money.
I'm popping around soon.
Yeah, but neither of us like to mow the lawn, so we ripped the lawn out and planted the entire front yard with plants.
Well done.
It's laziness, kind of, pseudo-laziness, but it consists of a variety of flowers and shrubs like Buralia, yellow daisies, salvias, bulbs. Couple of natives called midgems,
which produce
midgems are little white berries. They're a native bush tucker food. Tastes very eucalyptusy.
Oh, okay.
If that's a word.
Yep, you can eat them.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They fruit in late spring, early summer.
Uh huh. Yeah. Very nice. Okay.
Very nice. And in the backyard, we have white pebbles down, which I hate. My partner loves, but it just reminds me of kitty litter or pet cemetery or something.
A bone of contention. And, who's winning, by the way?
My point is that they were put down to keep the weeds at bay, but it's not doing its job anymore, so that's my argument. But in the backyard, we also have a mulberry bush, some birds of paradise, banana, which is...
A banana tree?
Banana tree, which is
in
fruiting
the
at the... Yep.
Wow.
In Melbourne, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so bulbs is our topic today, main topic.
Mm-hmm.
Our tulips didn't work last time we planted. I don't know what went wrong, but...
What did you do?
Put them in the fridge and, you know, all of the what you're supposed to do. And But, you know, other bulbs came up like jonquils and daffodils.
Okay.
Mascari, which are little purple flowers.
Mascari, not heard of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they tall?
The stems are tall and they have a bunch of little purple ball-like flowers at the top, grow to about 30 centimetres.
Okay,
yeah,
very nice. Yeah, so I've got, I like the bulbs. They're a nice little surprise in springtime, aren't they?
Yes.
And they, yes, because I usually forget where I've planted them anyway. I bought some recently. I've got the usual sort of jonquils and what are the little purpley ones? I forget the name.
Mascari.
No, they're not mascari.
Oh.
Another purpley one. No. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute.
Yep.
I've bought some more, as you do, mm-hmm. and I've bought 20 light pink ranunculus.
Ranunculus.
I thought it sort of add a bit of, all right, gayness to the garden. A softness, shall we say. I love the smell of freesias. I've got some freesias, mm-hmm. but I just want to add some more, so I've got 10 mixed double freesias, so we'll get the double perfume as well. And yellow crocuses.
And crocuses are... What are the flowers?
You can get them in different colours, but the yellow one has a particular meaning for me because when I was living in the country, under a very old walnut tree, the first house I ever bought with a garden had all these crocuses popping up just under the... And I thought, oh. And I saw them advertised that, yes, I want those again.
Yeah.
So, to me, plants sometimes have an emotional attachment.
Yeah. Well, that's like the midgen... plant that I have that mm-hmm. reminds me of home because I'm originally from the Gold Coast.
Oh, right. Yep. Okay. Well, your Melbourne. Banana tree would be right then.
Yep. Yeah, so that's why I planted the midgem is because it's a sentimental plant for me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so I've got from my mother who passed about, I think it was 7 years ago, I've got many of her pot plants as well.
Okay.
And things like good old geraniums and like the old-fashioned sort of stuff.
The Old Faithfuls.
Old Faithfuls, yes.
Also, in our garden, made a mistake of planting boysenberry because it's spread and it just keeps popping up everywhere. It's a big mistake. Wish I'd never done it. But I like the idea of going out into the garden and picking fresh food.
Yes, I like that too. Yeah. Yes. Okay, well, I think we'll go to a track and we'll talk more about planting those bulbs. After the Spice Girls. You're on
Joy 94.9.
We are, and you're on our garden. I'm the Gazman.
And I'm Andy Kay.
And we're talking about bulbs, aren't we, Andy?
We are talking bulbs.
Mm,
now's the time to plant them.
It is the time, yes, because April Fool, I always remember the April Fool is to plant them. So sometime in April, and if you leave it go much longer, you'll be too late and they won't plant and they'll just sit in the ground.
And not do anything.
Not do anything, yes. I'll
ignore
you.
Like my tulips. Maybe that's what it was, left it too late.
Yeah, I find that unusual because the usual story is put them in the crisper for 3 or 4 weeks or whatever, yep. plant them and away they go, and yep. not you.
No. Or maybe they just have a bad attitude.
Right.
Yeah. So how do we plant bulbs?
Well, the usual sort of thing is to have them in very good soil, in soil that's sort of very porous and friable, so not solid clay, because they won't get through it at yep. all. And average about twice the size of the bulb that far down deep.
Yep.
And pointy end up, hairy bum down.
Yep.
And that's the usual way. Ranunculus are upside down. They're the different ones. It's very rare an exception to that, so the pointy end goes up, so to speak.
The pointy end goes. And how long does it take for them usually to sprout out of the ground?
Well, it can vary because it depends on the bulbs you get. Yep. And if you time it right, you can have them going right through to spring to midsummer. So check the labels of the bulbs and check when they're going to flower. Like the daffodils come out really early, daffodils, mm-hmm. jonquils, and there's plenty of others that come out much later. So okay. it's just yep. Check them, and the nice little surprises that will happen in your garden.
And fertiliser?
Fertiliser, you don't need, don't water them while they're in the ground and until they start sprouting. And that's when you need to put some fertiliser because that's when their growth spurt comes on. The moment they start poking their little heads above the ground and say, oh, feed me.
So, and is there any, what is the best type of fertiliser for them?
Well, I usually use a seaweed fertiliser.
Yep, again, the Old Faithful seaweed solution.
Yeah, seaweed yep. solution. The others, I think the poo ones tend to be a bit harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got they should be dug in earlier on and then allowed to soak through because they can burn the bulbs if it's indirect contact. contact.
Yes, yes. And so if you do mix in manure with the compost, say, but also we have a question from Betty.
Well, we have a question from Betty about coffee grinds.
Coffee grinds.
Coffee grinds. Are coffee grinds good for the garden? Do you know a nice barista? We'll talk about that in a moment. Right now, though, Bee Gees. Bit of night fever. And Betty has asked, are coffee grinds good for the garden? What do you think the answer might be, Andy?
I think because they're an organic matter, I think yes.
Well done. Very good. You've read the notes, right? The first thing is actually a good and snug and snug. That's like in snails. And slugs, that's a barrier for those little grubby things. So they're not coffee connoisseurs at all. Now, if the grinds are dug into the ground... Ground, get it?
Yep.
Ground.
Yep. I see what you did there.
Okay, we'll move on. As the coffee grounds decompose, you're quite right about
organic material.
That's sort of word I was trying to think of. They release nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus and other minerals that support plant growth. Now, Betty, just turn the coffee grinds over with the soil. There's no special latte treatments needed. No chocolate on top or anything. And it doesn't all have to be that deep either. Just remember those slugs and snails. And they need to sort of sniff the coffee so they can run away from it. Now, some examples of the plants that thrive in a nitrogen-rich planting area include leafy vegetables. And these would include things like spinach, tomatoes, corn. And of the plants, roses, actually, quite good for that. Camellias, rhododendrons, and azaleas. So, Betty, if you've got plenty of those plants, spread the coffee grinds aground.
Spread the love.
Spread the
coffee
love.
Coffee love.
Yeah, I think tea leaves are fairly similar too, actually.
I think
My mother used to put them on the azaleas. She used to have sort of mix the pot of tea up and whoosh, out in the azaleas, and they always look very healthy. Now, we've got another question from Betty, haven't we there, Andy?
Yes.
What's that one?
With your bananas, do you keep the peels to place around the rose bushes? Haven't yet.
Right.
I had a bunch about 2 years ago. They didn't fruit last year, but there's a bunch growing this year. So I'm definitely going to try that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so have you got a compost bin?
Do have a compost bin.
Right. Do you put the banana peels in there?
When we buy bananas from the market, usually it goes in with all the other food stuff, you know, fruit and vegetables.
Yep.
And plant matter. We have I call it Percy's diner because there's a monster that lives in the compost bin. It's so nasty.
What sort of monster's in the compost bin?
One that eats compost.
Right, yeah, I just boiled a bit. I did some pumpkin soup the other night and all the pumpkin peel went in. Not the seeds, though.
No, because they can sprout.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, because if I put it back into the veggie patch, which I usually do, I don't want sort of 5 million pumpkin seeds, 5 million pumpkin plants. I like to have a bit of variety there. Okay, so we've got a few minutes left. And
I'll just go a run through of what to plant in April and May.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so vegetables, you can have beetroot, fennel, kale, lettuce, or most of the brassica family, like broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, bok choy.
All right.
Also carrots, onions, radish, leek, and strawberries. And the herbs, most herbs you can plant now, like marjoram, mint, oregano, rosemary, sage, thyme, coriander, parsley, and chives.
Right, so quite a range of the herbs.
Bit early for garlic yet. I think I would wait until the end of May for garlic, to plant garlic.
Right. I did garlic last year, and that worked really well. I put them in pots.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't have much room in the garden, and on my back deck, I had that's D-E-C-K. Yep. On the back deck, I had a lot of empty pots. So I thought some of them had tulips in, which weren't flowering. I think it must be the Brunswick thing.
Yeah,
So I put them in pots there, and they grew up. Looked really good.
Your back deck, is that north or south facing?
The sunny side.
North. It's north facing, so it would get a lot of sunlight on the back.
It does. Yeah. It's very sunny on the back.
Okay, and just some flowering plants that you can plant now are bougainvillea, gardenia, cyclamen, impatiens, rose, and frangipani.
Oh, frangipani.
Frangipani.
Yeah, because we don't get many frosts in Melbourne now, so frangipanis would be good.
And we'll finish off with a quote.
Indeed.
Each week we'll finish off with a different quote. We won't have the same one each week. But this one comes from the artist Georgia O'Keeffe. She says, "I hate flowers. I paint them because they're cheaper than models and they don't move."
Gorgeous. Thanks, Andy. We'll be back next week, midday, with Our Garden.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.